Good evening. How's this? Is it coming through pretty well? Some new faces tonight. Nader, welcome. Michael, welcome. What are your names?
My name's Ray.
Ray?
I'm James.
Ray, James, welcome. Thank you all for coming. I heard a news report on NPR the other day about sleep, and we're not getting enough of it, and it's the cause of lots of problems with health and moods, and we're supposed to get 8 hours, and American adults barely get 7 hours. It wasn't in the report, but I also know that we don't take vacations very much. We always have vacation time in our banks that we don't take. When I retired, I had all these unused vacation days myself, so I'm not, I know exactly what that's about. And it made me think of my insight that I had on my walk this summer, my long hike, that going beyond our thoughts of this or that, going beyond getting stuck in our heads, wrestling with two opposing ideas, going beyond even thinking that there's separation between me and you, or this and that, even the most subtle places where we get stuck holding opposites, that going beyond requires us to rest, to slow down, to let go even more than what we were doing up until then. Our practice is about letting go. Buddha's first lecture, he had been meditating for 6 days to try to understand the nature of all things. 6 days, maybe 6 weeks, maybe 6 months. But he sat down, and his awakening on that last day was the total non-separation between that distant star and the universe and the very ground that he sat on. So that total non-separation was Buddha's mind and body. And he said that we suffer because we forget that total non-separation. That was his first of four noble truths. And he says this suffering, because we forget about the total non-separation, the total intimacy, the non-duality of all things. We suffer because we hold on tightly to our separate selves, our separate lives, our separate great ideas, and that makes the rest of the world separate from us. So this holding on is the cause of the suffering of the universe. And from the very beginning, our practice, our sitting practice, our Buddha's sitting practice, is open that grip a little bit. Don't hold on so tightly. Open up completely. And I have to keep reminding myself of that over and over again. We practice so much manipulating this and that and getting here on time and choosing what to have for dinner, buying that, not buying that, picking and choosing. There's so much this and that that we practice that even when we come here day after day and sit period of meditation after period of meditation, we're so prone to slide back into the world of this and that. So prone to hold on tightly, so prone to not take our vacation days and really abide in the world of intimacy and harmony and non-separation, which is Buddha's body and mind. So I've been thinking about this. A lot of you were here when I talked about my hiking trip this summer, and the idea that I had in my head was that I wasn't walking very fast, that I should be walking faster, and that I saw other people walking faster. I saw people that I knew started later than I did that passed me up. So this was this idea that I, you know, held on to. I was only able to hold on a little bit because I wore myself out. And I realized that, you know, I actually get to the same place that everyone else does at the end of the day. It wasn't like I was walking with people. This was like a solo hike. That if I really paid attention to my body, if I really became intimate with this human body, and kept a pace that I could sustain, I would get there just fine, and be able to see them all at the hostel at the end of the day, and have a wonderful evening with them, and it was just fine. So that idea of I just had to let go a little bit more. I just had to rest a little bit more between each step. And it was just fine. I could abide there. I was able to sustain myself there. So I've been looking at that in other areas. I really appreciated Kathy's talk last week when she talked about how central our sitting practice. Our sitting practice is as a matter of fact, it's so essential that Dogen, the founder of our school of Buddhism, Dogen says that our practice is nothing other than that liberation, that enlightenment, that freedom itself, that of non-separation, of intimacy with all things, that there's no difference between this practice and that very liberation and intimacy and enlightenment that the Buddha taught 25 centuries ago. And so I appreciated Kathy talking so much about our meditation practice. And one of her central questions, for those of you that weren't here last week, was, I've been doing this practice that's no separate from liberation and enlightenment for a very long time, and I still get myself in trouble. I still experience suffering in my life. Shouldn't I see some progress? And she had a very good solution that I'm not going there, but I'm just going to look at this practice of letting go even just a little bit more. Once a month we have a free class here for people just starting in meditation on this very posture, and it's kind of patterned after Dogen, our founder, and his meditation instructions. And you know, he never says you just have to sit really hard, you just have to sit really a lot, you have to he never goes in that direction. It's more about you know, sit upright in this posture of awareness and connectedness. And, you know, you can actually let gravity do the work for you. You don't have to strive so hard to sit in this posture. If you just put your left foot here and your right foot here and your shoulders here and your spine straight, whether you're sitting on the cushion or sitting on the chair, gravity kind of will hold you up. You can rest in this posture. And so it's not a matter of doing it with more and more energy to get closer and closer to intimacy with the whole universe and enlightenment. It's about, can you find this comfortable place where you're actually supported by the universe, in the universe? And this posture itself, this sitting meditation itself, is the very liberation and realization that you thought you had to work so hard to achieve. Just, it's right here. He went so far as to say that in his meditation instruction, this zazen, this sitting meditation, is not about learning concentration. It's not about concentrating really hard. This, he says, is the practice of ease and joy. And this ease and joy is the undefiled practice enlightenment. This ease and joy. That's what I want to remember. Just to give you the end of Kathy's talk, that's what she remembered. It's not about sitting hard or working towards it. It's about abiding, settling into this very universe of harmony and ease and joy. And to remember that, Dogen says that that was Dogen's big question. If we're already the intimate universe, if that's none other than ourselves already, you know, why do we practice? And his experience was that there is no separation between the ease and joy of this sitting practice and the harmony, ease, and joy that we already are. That this is our realization of the way things are, of Buddha's very search for his understanding of the way things are, not separate, not on different sides of the table, but intimate, harmonious, and easy, filled with ease. And we need to have we need to visit that reality with some regularity, is what Dogen and then our own modern teacher Suzuki Roshi in San Francisco says. You need to visit that reality on a regular basis. Try it every day. See if you can visit that. So it helps you remember when you're not actually on the cushion. It helps you remember that as you look around the room, as you look around your office, as you look around your family room, that I'm not separate from you. I'm intimate. I'm not even difficult. Except when I'm here, I do nothing but listen to NPR. I'll confess that. And there was this great story today about saving people from the riptide, and the woman caught in the riptide was also having a heart attack. And it was just this horrible, and there were 10 other people caught in the riptide too. But everybody on the beach formed this long chain of holding hands, of kind of being one thing that was going to help bring in all these 10 people. And one of the people that was in the riptide was his grandmother in the riptide having the heart attack. And he kept saying, you know, hold on, grandmother, hold on, grandmother. And the fellow who actually finally, it was at the end of the long string of people so they wouldn't get stuck in the riptide, the one who actually pulled in the grandmother, he said, you know, she was my grandmother. I mean, at the moment of connecting, there was just no separation, no difference of families. That was my grandmother, and so he was able to experience Buddha's body and mind, along with all the other Buddhas in the ocean that day, all holding hands, being one body that was just supporting everyone else. Because I've been thinking about this for several months, how can I rest even more in practice? How can I let go even more? I've tended to give the same talk over and over again all summer long. And I remember I was working on this meditation when I was here a month ago, or 2 months ago maybe. And we all had to practice. I wanted to practice that mind that really gets stuck, that's not going beyond, that's just really kind of stuck in a good idea or a conversation that needs to take place. And then I said, let's practice then letting go of that thought and just sitting. That's what Dogen called this meditation of upright sitting. He called it just sitting, and what he meant was, you know, can I totally be in this body of being, right here and right now? Can I just sit? Can I just abide? Can I just sustain myself in this body of being and let go of the thoughts that might pertain to the future? What do I need to say to this person? What do I need to do tomorrow to prepare myself? Or can I let go of the thought that might just be remembering events from the past? Dogen says, can you just sit and totally abide in this body of being, right here, right now? And so we practice letting go of thoughts and just being aware of being in this place and this time right here. Sometimes I do get stuck, and I can let go of that thought, and before I can even relax the muscles in my shoulders, that worry, that concern will be right back there. I've developed a few tricks that work pretty well, I make bargains. I manipulate my mind. If I do a short chant, I say, well, you know, chanting one of our Buddha chants is probably better than it's not exactly just sitting, but it's probably better than being stuck. That works a lot. And then sometimes I can stop chanting and it's easier for me to sit. I really appreciate Kathy talked about our former abbot Catherine's technique, which was her just sitting instruction. Catherine, our abbot here for 25 years before her death, said, if you're stuck, try to figure out where else it is in your body. Are you, you know, in addition to your rumination, are you holding it tightly in your shoulders? Are you holding it tightly in your stomach? Are your legs tightened up? Kind of bring that, explore where else it is in the body. And that that might give you a little more information about this unsolvable problem, or this problem that is so persistent that you can't get away. Just at the very least, spread it throughout your body. Think about where else it is in your body. So those are manipulations. But they're manipulations, you know, for good and not evil, and sometimes it does allow me to get back to just sitting again, to letting that thought go, not holding on so tightly to what's causing me to suffer, and open the hand of thought and let that go. I've just like the, you know, NPR stories that all seem to be about my practice, when I'm really thinking about it. This morning we did, the morning chant here on Wednesday mornings is a song of the trusting mind. Can we really trust the reality that's right here and right now, that we're not separate from, that we're intimate with and harmonious with? And one of the lines is, dualistic constructs cannot abide. Holding this tight idea in my head that might be a different opinion from your idea, or that might keep me separate, it can't be sustained. You know, abiding is about really settling in a sustainable way, like this posture. The posture that we take, where we're letting the universe hold us up, can sustain us for hour after hour. A lot of us here today sat the sesshin all weekend. We sat 3 days this weekend, and so a lot of us were sustained by this practice. When we could really let go Dogen says, you know, leave your concerns at the shoe rack, and then come in and sit down and be totally sustained by the universe, totally abide in this practice. So we set aside these ideas and memories that make us separate from the rest of the world, and then we're able to totally abide in this practice, in this posture, totally be sustained by the whole universe. So the fourth Chinese ancestor who said, dualistic constructs cannot abide. We can't, it's like me trying to catch up with all those people on the path. I can't keep up. I can't sustain that pace. I can't abide in that pace. I can't abide in the idea that I should be that way and not this way. So, our fourth Chinese ancestor said, you just can't abide that way. You can't be sustained that way. Just surrender to this posture, to this body, to this mind, and feel the support that you get from the rest of the universe, and that's the mind and body of Buddha. A few other quotes from Dogen. Dogen, one of his writings is called Guidelines for Studying the Way, and he's talking about our practice. There is entirely nothing to hold on to. Please try releasing your hold, and releasing your hold, please observe, what is this body and mind? What's my behavior? What is birth and death? What is the Buddha Dharma? What are the laws of the world? What, in the end, are the mountains, rivers, earth, human beings, animals, and houses? So can I release my hold, he's saying in this practice, on this world where I think there's so many things, so many different things, the mountains and rivers and humans and houses. You know, do I really need to hold on to the world of difference? And can't I remember more often the reality of intimacy and harmony and ease, where we're sustained by this universe because we're nothing but the whole universe at all times. A couple of generations before Dogen, one of our Chinese ancestors, Dogen, taught in the early 13th century, and Hung Zhur in China was teaching about 100 years before. Just expand and illuminate the original truth unconcerned by external conditions. When I think there's external conditions that are outside of me, that are affecting me, that I need to manipulate, do I need to manipulate the external conditions so that I can have the idea of myself that I want to hold on to? Just expand and illuminate the original truth of harmony, of intimacy, of unity, and maintain myself unconcerned by external conditions. An ancient teacher said, the mind that isn't holding on tightly fulfills the way of a mind that doesn't hold on tightly. Enacting and fulfilling this way of the open mind, finally you can rest. when we actually are living the life of the mind that doesn't hold on so tightly, finally we can rest. Here in his teaching called the practice of true reality. That's another name for our just sitting. Hongzhi called it the practice of true reality. Here you can rest and become clean, pure, and lucid. Bright and penetrating, you can immediately return, accord, and respond to deal with events. In this world where we're not so concerned about manipulating the external world, because we're intimate, and it's not just those swimmers out there that have made a horrible mistake. We're connected intimately to that whole line of people throughout the universe. And only when we can feel that connection can we rest and become clean, pure, and lucid, and be in accord and respond with harmony with the events in our life. I mean, that was the only way to respond to the 10 people caught in the riptide. It's the only way to respond to the line of traffic that we may have gotten caught in on the way to the Zendo tonight, is when we can feel that bright accord and intimacy with all things. And it's about resting even more. It's about letting go even more. And realizing the ease and joy of this practice and this pure reality, the way Hongzhi called it. Maybe I'll end there. And if you sat this weekend and saw that had a window of ease and joy, you know, what was that like? One question that came up during Kokyo's talk was, you know, why do we sit? I just read it. When we, you know, what is there to hold on to when we totally let go? And we're asking ourselves, who am I? You know, maybe ask yourself, why do we sit as well? And Kokyo said, well, you tell me, why do you sit? And his answer was, I really want to have confidence in the true reality, the brightness, the intimacy. That is right here, right now. So if you sat this weekend, you might talk about any opening you might had, or maybe all of us pretty much sat this last 40 minutes. Maybe there was some ease and joy. Maybe that gravity that you felt holding you to the chair, holding you to the cushion, felt just like the embrace of your grandmother holding you in her lap. Charlie.
I did not sit this weekend, but I have regarding sleeping more and not working too hard. How do we balance that with our Buddhist responsibility to lessen suffering in the world?
Another one of Buddha's teaching in the Diamond Sutra, Buddha said, unless you are really grounded, unless you have that confidence and that you are not separate from all things in the universe. As a matter of fact, that there aren't separate things, that you're just that one bright, luminous being. Unless you've cultivated that confidence, you're really not able to go out and save all beings. The 70 people that all had to hold hands from the shoreline, all had to be, one large being before they could save, even one of the struggling swimmers. So it's nothing but, our confidence in the true reality of this world and the true reality of this practice. It's nothing but that practice that allows us to save all beings and help other beings be liberated from their suffering. Thank you. Nader.
Your talk just reminded me that everything comes from a great bliss. Everything is in a great bliss, and everything just goes back to a great bliss.
Yeah, yeah, and it's nice that it wasn't just me kind of getting a little bit spacey up here, or it wasn't just me. Suffering from sleep deprivation, that every once in a while I can experience that ease and joy. It's nice to see that 800 years ago, Dogen experienced in his practice the ease and joy and harmony and intimacy from this practice realization, and that a hundred years before that, Hong Zhu also described this is a great rest, this confidence in the reality of that all things are not separate is a great rest for all of us. And in the midst of all of that worry in the riptide, he only sees his grandmother, that great comforting being. So it's described again and again that this practice and this understanding of the universe is nothing but that ease and joy of unity and intimacy and harmony. Thank you. Liz?
I did miss it one day, but it's never fails to just nourish me so much to realize that when you do slow down, so much beauty is available, you know, to just see ordinary light. That's so beautiful. See the wood come alive, and you know, just delightful. And just remembering to kind of at the end of the day, you know, all tight and a lot of pain, and then I just relaxed, and I couldn't have relaxed on purpose. Because I was really uptight. So I think I relaxed. And that was such a nice gift. Like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Just going from this incredible pain to like, oh, my body feels good.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Nice.
That's a nice practice.
Nice, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes, even though I feel a tightness here or a pain here, that and I've got this idea that this body needs to relax a little bit, I can't do it, and then something will turn, and I find myself settling in. Abiding, being sustained. Thank you. Ray?
Yeah, it's Ray. How do you come back to this realization in your everyday life when you don't have time to sit or listen to speaker, I guess,
get
your 8 hours of sleep at night.
Sleep 8 hours.
So how do you, what's an easy way for you to come back to this realization of, I guess, seeing your grandmother's face and, you know, the everyday person? How do you come back into contact with that consciousness after, maybe a rough day at work or just, did you just feel really beaten down with at the end of the day?
Yeah. So I'm remembering more of Suzuki who came from Japan to San Francisco in the late 50s and taught into the 70s. And there he was in San Francisco, and I don't think he ever imagined that people would like get up every morning and like drive through San Francisco to meditate. I mean, I can't imagine doing that now if I lived in San Francisco. We had somebody who lived next door once who said if he lived in the house next door to that, it would be too far for him to come sit in the morning. But Suzuki didn't imagine that people were going to come from Berkeley and Pacifica and drive every morning at 5:30 to come sit meditation. He just said, you know, try, you know, you can come here when you can, but try to visit Buddha's body and mind at least every day, maybe just for 10 minutes, and that was his way of saying, you know, that's how you develop the confidence that the world is nothing but the embrace of our grandmothers. What he actually said was that 10 minutes, maybe right after you get up or right after you get home from work, or maybe a quiet time in your cubicle at lunchtime. He said that'll perfume the rest of the day. You know, if in the midst of something difficult, we've got that perfume of, gee, I'm not separate from this. This isn't something that I should push away. This is something that that's not separate from me, that I need to embrace fully, just like being fully in my, just like I was earlier in the day when I was fully in, you know, this place, this time, this body. So that's Suzuki's recommendation is that even is come here when you can, but try to visit the body and mind for a few minutes every day, so that you're you've always got that perfume of intimacy. Yarrow.
That just kind of reminded me of, I think it was Thich Nhat Hanh, or maybe the Dalai Lama, who talked about practicing while sitting in traffic. So it can be, you know, practicing while sitting on the bus. Just breathing, mm-hmm. being aware that you're breathing, and breathing in and out, just taking that moment of like, okay, there's the breath, and there's this body, and here I am, mm-hmm. and it's okay, and mm-hmm. just kind of giving yourself, you know, a little remembrance of that.
Yeah.
Refreshment.
Nourishment, like Liz said. And Stan, a quick question to bring us on home.
It's not a question.
Or a quick comment.
It's a practice. Moving downtown, I found that I've been sort of missing being out in the woods, and that they're there, and now I'm basically doing, when I get stuck in traffic, I look at all the greenery I can see and just breathe and be with it. And that helps me stay really present, and that really warms my heart, because those growing trees and bushes are doing what we're doing. We're growing in being, and they're part of the universe as much as we are. And I really appreciate that. And it really helps when I'm stuck in traffic. I don't get upset when I remember to do it. Mm-hmm. I just appreciate whatever is green around me.
Yes. Yeah. Nice.
It's simple, but it seems to help a lot.
Nice. Thank you, and we can talk more out on the patio as well with around tea. Thank you all very much. May the merit of our sitting tonight fill the universe with the perfume of intimacy and harmony and accord, and remind us of the ease and joy that is none other than what is right now. Beings are numberless, I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible, I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless, I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable, I vow to become it.